keep us again from believing in aliens. Some things in creation that will keep us from believing in aliens. And again, this is not to convince anybody here. At the dinner we had down at Grace Baptist, Brother Dave got talking about aliens and asked me again, why is it that we defend against this teaching of aliens? And of course, he has his own ideas, a lot of them, again, about that. But it's certain that you can either believe the Bible or believe in aliens. And so he got me thinking anyway, and I said, I just need to, in the day and age we live in, I need to dig out some verses and some reasons why we refuse to believe in aliens. I've had many a discussion with them. Some of the family here that we know, are tangled in this idea that there's aliens again. And so even right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, I've argued with family members of yours that believe that certainly there's aliens. And they don't believe it in a little way. They believe it in a big way again. And so just some things that we need to consider about what the Bible says about aliens. Let's turn in first off into our Bible and let's look at some things. And then I want to again, in Genesis chapter 1, let's look at the creation account. And notice again that this one little verse, I love this verse that's given that talks about our creation. And so let's start at the creation of the stars. It is a sideline in Genesis chapter 1. And so if you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, let's look at the creation account. And starting there in verse 13, the creation account, starting in Genesis chapter 13, it's kind of a strange place to begin, but it says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Praise the Lord. The evening and the morning were the third day. And so we have these days marked out in creation. The first thing, again, a Bible scoffer does is it throws out these days and said, no, they're not 24-hour days. Listen, these are 24-hour days. They've got a sunrise, they've got a sunset. Notice again that the Hebrew calendars is based on the days that's given right here. The evening and the morning again. So they always start their days in the evening. And so again, at 6 o'clock at night, once the sun sets, they say a new day has begun. And it begins again with that darkness. The evening and the morning were the third day. And so now we're going to enter into the fourth day. And we have a marvelous description here on the fourth day, starting in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. I'd stop right here again to recognize that when we're looking at these lights that we're putting in the season, that God made light the first day, right? Let there be light. And so there was as yet no sunshine, but there was light. Even the Bible first lesson that we went through, I like that lesson, said that shouldn't surprise you because God is light. Amen. Again. The plants were created, where's that? The day before, the third day? The third day, the plants were created. How's a plant going to do its photosynthesis without light? There was light, but there was no sunshine. There's those plants growing as they face God. There's an evening and a morning. How can that be if there's no sun? I don't know, but God handled it. God is the light for the first 3 days. And now on the fourth day of creation, Sunday's the first day, Monday's the second day, Tuesday's the third day, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The fourth day is Wednesday. So on a Wednesday is when God created these balls of light in the sky. And notice again that in the creation of them, they were placed in the firmament. I love Kent Hovind and Ken Ham, and they had this idea again that the firmament had a canopy of water over top of it. I agree with them. I believe the firmament has a canopy of water over top of the firmament. He separated the waters, and there was waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. And where they stop is they think that firmament was the atmosphere. It isn't the atmosphere. The firmament is above that. The firmament, again, contains all of the stars and the planets and the Milky Way galaxy and the Asteris galaxy and all the other galaxies that we can see. Many of them we can see with the naked eye. And again, those were installed inside of the firmament. What's above that firmament?
Another heaven of gods.
Okay, that's even past that, but above that firmament, the Bible says on several occasions, is a layer of water. Picture the biggest telescope you could ever imagine, and bigger than the Hubble, and peer off into eternity again of God's creation. Now, creation is finite, and peer off there, and eventually there's a layer of water that you see. And when you see that, it's like a mirror, it's a reflection you see back into the universe that we're looking out of. And so if you picture a giant bubble, that's what our universe is. We're existing inside of a giant bubble. And there's water on the outside of the firmament, and then there's all of these planets. Well, I got to finish the verse. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide. And notice again the singular heaven. All the modernist Bibles make all of these heavens. And so again, we're not talking about the heavens yet. We're talking about the firmament, which is called heaven. To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. I love this last clause of verse 16. He made the stars also. Brother Thrun went down to the planetarium, and he and I were talking about what you see at the planetarium down there. And if you ever get a chance to get anywhere near Cincinnati and you don't go see the Ark, shame on you. And if you don't go see the planetarium, double shame on you. And so again, they have a planetarium that gives a light show again of all of creation. And it's just spectacular to behold. And they buzz you out through space via a video where you're sitting in a dome video in a three-dimensional space. And you're zooming out through all the planets. It's just a spectacular thing. But to recognize again that our tiny little galaxy called the Milky Way contains a billion stars. And again, there are a billion other galaxies out there that we can see. And so in our Milky Way, we can calculate a billion stars just from the light. Anyone ever seen the Milky Way? Ever go out and stare and look at the Milky Way? We're out here in the sticks far enough so you don't have all these other city lights. And you can see the band of the Milky Way. And that's literally the galaxy that's around us again. And it's a giant orb if you've ever seen any of the pictures of the galaxies. And so here's this galaxy with a billion stars in it. And then we can look off and we can find different other galaxies that we could see. I got to get my telescope going again here this spring. But we could look at and pick out several galaxies that we've looked at again with our telescope on our front porch. And again, to understand that galaxy we're looking at has another billion stars. And then there's another galaxy over there that's got another billion stars. And so there's billions and billions of stars, and it all fits into this one little clause. He made the stars also in verse 16. Verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven, singular, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Trillions of stars were made by God on the fourth day. Why did he do that? Because he can.
Amen. Amen.
We have an infinite God, and he was giving us a taste of infinity and beyond, Buzz Lightyear. And so again, as we look at this idea again of these stars that God created for us, and in the creation act of creating man, I just want us to again be cognizant and aware that they were made for man. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. We stand in awe, you know, of you, and we'll never comprehend the infinite. But you've given us a taste of it even here, that we in the past 150 years can stare into and just stand in awe, because the heavens declare your glory, and the firmament that we just read about show your handiwork. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Help us again to never forget the importance of that, even in our understanding of you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Jump over to the close of this chapter, to verse 26. We're in Genesis chapter 1. And look with me at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And it doesn't have a little clause that says, "And he created extraterrestrial creatures also." Again, and notice here again that God created man. Amen. At the center of this thing. The most important act of creation on these 6 days is, again, his creation of man. The most emphasis that's given in this biblical account is the fact that he created humans, that he created us in his likeness. He created us different than any animal. He created us with a different purpose. And everything here in this book, 66 books, centers around the creation of man, and even the stars, the billions of stars, the trillions of stars that he created. The center of all that is, the centerpiece of God is that he created humans. He created you and I. And again, I can go on with a whole bunch of other verses that you're already familiar with, but not only did he create man, he died for man. And he gave his life for man. And he made a sacrifice to redeem man. Because man is the most important thing in all of this universe, and all of God's focus and all of God's attention is placed not even on the stars, not even on the physics, again, that makes his universe work, but all of his focus is placed on man. All 66 books here that we can look at have a redemption theme, the redemption of man. It's not about anything else. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. And the whole focus is that man fell. And when man fell, listen, the universe fell under a curse. The universe did. Not just man fell under the curse, but the Bible says that all of creation groans under this curse of God, under the fall of man. All of creation, listen, that includes a trillion stars. Everything that God created here, it says, groans under this. And so again, we want to again just take that. I've written down 3 reasons that anyone would ever believe in extraterrestrial, intelligent extraterrestrial beings. And again, right now, again, everything we spend on NASA, everything we spend on space exploration, every time we send a probe to Mars or a probe anywhere out in space, what is man looking for? They're looking for where life came from. And listen, I enjoy immensely the research. I love examining the Hubble telescope views of space. I love examining the black holes and how they work and all the details that man is discovering as he explores space. But man's heart is desperately wicked, and every time we send a probe out, they're trying to find out where life comes from. That's their purpose. That's their goal. And so, notice again that I've got a book right here that tells where life comes from. And we don't have to send probes out into Mars to find out and dig around in the dirt on Mars and see if there's water there. If there's water there, there might be some bacterial life there. It could be E.T. was there once. And when we consider again man and his depravity, notice again that it is first off a rebellion against God. Everything he does is in rebellion against God. And that includes the discovery of intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. Reason number one, things that drive man to believe there may be some form of intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. Number one, the vastness of the universe. If you believe that we evolved here, if you believe again in random chance and the random idea that life evolved here, you must believe that in a trillion other planets that life evolved there too. You must believe that. It's statistically impossible to believe that we are the only ones in this universe. And so again, the number one basis for believing that is that you believe in evolution, number one. And number two, it's statistically, astronomically impossible that this same accident didn't happen someplace else. It had to, in the trillions of times that it had to happen, or it could have happened, it had to happen, period. And so for them, for the evolutionists, there has got to be, according to all statistics and all any kind of reason, there has got to be an extraterrestrial life form out there that's intelligent. And they go so far, again, to make it more intelligent than we are. And I guess I don't mind that. I'd have to gather that if they believe in evolution, there's got to be more intelligent life out there to begin with again. So, what's the premise for believing in extraterrestrial intelligent life? Number one, you must believe in evolution. If you don't believe in evolution, you have no business whatsoever considering that there's extraterrestrial life out there, let alone intelligent extraterrestrial life. Because we just read that God formed this terrestrial thing as the center of all of his attention. And God formed the human as the center of all of his attention, at the center of all of his redemption. And because of the fall of human, that there's a curse upon all of the universe. All of this creation is centered around man. And when man fell and the curse was spread upon all of the universe, again, what does that do for an intelligent life form that's out there on some other planet that might be habitable by some creature? Listen, they're under the curse. And did God die for them? Nowhere in my Bible. And so they're under the curse of man, but they're not related to man. And so again, they're out there, and that's an unjust God. To understand that God didn't provide any way. And we're given the angels again. And so the angels again, they fell, they sinned. Did God provide any redeeming act for them?
Nope.
None. There's no salvation that's available to angels. They left their first estate and there's no returning. Listen, praise the Lord, you and I as humans left our first estate, but we can be redeemed. Amen. We can be put back. And we have 66 books that just focus on the fact that Christ, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So number one, you must believe in evolution. And if you believe in evolution, If you really believe in evolution, now again, understand most people only believe in evolution because that's the only thing that they've been taught from kindergarten all through life. Every TV show, even Martha Stewart was forced to say that ferns had to be millions of years old and that they evolved here. And you can tell when she was forced to say that, she didn't lie. Martha went to jail for lying, remember? And so she was scared. And so the networks, again, forced even Martha Stewart to say these ferns evolved here. And so, again, the political blackmail, the political correctness, the arm twisting that goes on behind the scenes, again, the fact that our colleges, if you write a paper and you believe in creation, you'll be kicked out of college. It'll never pass. Some of the papers that I wrote as an engineering student, again, because they made a reference to a creator, again, they docked points off that. Here's a guy, man, he's a nutcase. I don't know if we want to graduate him from Ohio State University or not. He believes that there's a God. And so listen, our whole system, our whole world society is stacked against anyone who would believe this book. And stacked for those that would believe that if you keep breeding your beagles long enough, eventually you could end up with a Clydesdale horse. And so again, they promote that, they believe that. And again, if you believe in evolution, you must believe that there is intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. Reason number two, things that drive man to believe there may be some form of intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. How could there not be? How could there not be? And notice that that's not really a new reason, is it? That's just connected to the first reason. Reason number three, things that drive man to believe there may be some form of intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. Look at all these things on Earth and in our evolutionary understanding that evade natural explanations. And so after their mind is made up that there's extraterrestrial beings out there, then they start beginning looking at the world around them and saying, I think this is something to do with extraterrestrial life. If you watch any of the History Channel, if you watch their stupidity, where they go on and on again about the evidence of aliens visiting the Earth, notice that none of that is evidence. It's proof text that they stack up and try to, again, prove their belief system. And so they believe it first, and then, again, they can find the evidences that show that it is true. So for those three reasons, notice again that, again, they start stacking up evidence and say, sure, there must be intelligent extraterrestrial life out there that visited the Earth, and it still visits the Earth. I love putting together this last one. It's too bad I don't have a lot of time to spend on it tonight. But these are attested to the fact that they visited the Earth, that aliens visited the Earth, are attested to by these evidences. Number one, government secrets and government saucers were covered up at Roswell Air Force Base in 1947. Again, and down at Roswell, again, it's a top secret base. They've got top secret. In 1947, they had top secret stuff going on down there. And their cover story, whenever anyone said, do you have aliens here? They said, we can neither confirm nor deny. When they said, do you have flying saucers that you've gotten in here? And they said, we can neither confirm nor deny. And again, to that popular science, that meant all the researchers of the world said, we've got something here again. So they actually believe that in Roswell, in 1947, they actually had alien life forms that they had captured and brought down there. Number two, actual aliens stored at the U.S. Air Force top secret Area 51 outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. And again, I looked it up again online, and there's several references that just dictate that, hey, that's exactly what went on out in Area 51. Area 51 is now declassified. It's a declassified area. And they declassified everything that went on there. They declassified everything that went on in Skunk Works. And so again, Skunk Works is in California, again, where we developed and built a lot of the black airplanes. And so, again, it's all declassified now. In fact, if you just go on the internet, you can look up, they have documentaries on Area 51 and what all went on there. And again, but there are those that stick to and will hold to forever that the government plans to operate out of Area 51 during the pending alien invasion. And so, Betty, again, and that was when Area 51 was still classified, when I was talking to Betty, she was just convinced of that Area 51 has all of the headquarters of Washington, and they're going to move out there, and they're going to operate from there. The elitists of Washington are going to operate out of Area 51 while all the rest of the world is destroyed by alien invaders or Nephilim giants. And so, again, to understand that all of these secrets, again, are proven and documented over and over, all you got to know is that the Air Force said this: we can neither confirm nor deny. And that's what built all this suspicion about what's going on there, because their minds was made up that there's alien life forms here, and they invaded us, and now they're just digging around and saying, see, this proves it. See, this proves it. This proves it. They've got nothing. Number three, crop rings. Have we heard about crop rings around here? Pyramids. Alien invasions. The Inca Citadel at Machu Picchu, again, is, and we didn't even get to visit that when we were down in Peru all them times. But again, that is proof that aliens were here in their book. Actual alien abductions and actual testimonies of people who were abducted by aliens. I'd say this, but where I'm recording this, so I'm not going to say this, but there's people right here in our midst that you could ask again about certain spirit things, and you'd get some wild stories here. And listen, none of them, again, are documented. None of them, they're all fabricated. And so, again, they've got a purpose of what they're going to believe. Actual alien abductions and people that have been taken off to flying saucers. And at that point, all I have is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The evidence is overwhelming. And so, again, when you're dealing with someone that believes in aliens, notice that in their mind, the evidence is overwhelming. And you'll probably not talk them out of it until you talk them into the Lord Jesus Christ. Until they again come to someone who will lead them in the truth, someone who can lead them better than you or I could lead them, you'll probably not talk a flat earther into a sphere, and you'll not talk an alien believer into the fact that, hey, there's no aliens. God didn't create aliens. He created this terrestrial ball, and he put life on it that is the center of all of God's attention. Yeah, there's a trillion other stars out there, and God did that just to show you his handiwork. Praise the Lord. That we serve an infinite God. We'll never understand an infinite God, but you can glimpse through a Hubble telescope and look out into infinity and beyond and begin to understand that we serve an infinite God. And yet, God so loved the world. In this short Bible lesson, I established again that if you believe in Jehovah God, the creator of this universe, you will not believe in intelligent extraterrestrial life. As my hero of days gone by, Kent Hovind, once said, after teaching high school science for 20 years, I barely believed intelligent life on this planet again. And so Kent Hovind, again, has dealt with this. There are some influential Bible teachers who teach and hold dogmatically to extraterrestrial beings that came and mucked up things here on this planet. And the late Peter Ruckman is one of those. And so, again, one of the things I'm very careful about Ruckmanites and missionaries that come through Peter Ruckman's school is he was a staunch believer in aliens. And if you defied him to believe in what he taught about aliens, he'd cut off your head and spit down your neck. I mean, just a hateful guy if you disagreed with him. And so he was very staunch, again, that there are aliens. God did create aliens. And so, again, there's a lot, again, of good people, even good Christians, that are tangled up into this thing. and you're going to bump into some of them. Well, you need to determine again, first off, is that person a born-again believer? Or, again, there are some born-again believers who get tangled up in cults. And this is one of those areas that's cultic. Belief, number two, belief in intelligent extraterrestrial life is anti-Christian. It goes against the things of Christ. It defies our Creator. It defies the creation account. It defies the Bible believer. And again, so they're just not neutral over there. Well, you know, you can believe in aliens or not. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does make a difference. And so again, if you take again a belief of aliens, you must set aside some major portions of Bible to do that. And so they can't believe in aliens and to believe in the Bible, and they'll compromise. It is anti-Christian. Number three, belief in a flat earth, belief in alien invasions, or any other kind of government conspiracy makes a Christian, quote, Christian, ineffective at his real mission, preaching the gospel to every creature. If you've bumped into anyone who believes in a flat earth, if you've bumped into anyone that believes in aliens, what do they want to talk about? The Lord Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. No, that's the furthest thing from their mind. They want to talk. They want to prove to you. They want to bring you into their circle and cause that you would again be just as deceived as they are. And they'll not be happy until you do. Every time you bump into them, that's what they want to talk about. Every time you bump into them, that's what's on their mind. I need to get this person converted. But not converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Converted to their way of thinking. Again, and that's one of the problems with our piano player. Again, and one of the reasons that she left is because I refused to. Hey, you don't talk about that at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Don't even bring it up. You don't go trying to convince people at Good Samaritan Baptist Church that the earth is flat. Well, then I can't go there. That's right. Again, if you're going to talk about that, you can't go there. And so again, understand that we got to take a strong stand on this thing. This is cultic stuff. And again, it is, as I said, anti-Christian. Let me tell you one more thing. Let me just run down through a couple of these verses here. They also pick up a Bible and they say, okay, here's some Bible verses that prove that's aliens. Remember, they're already convinced that there's aliens. Now they'll take a Bible and they'll convince you from the Bible that this is a Bible teaching. First off, we know that the whole creation groans under the weight of sin. The effect of the curse, as I mentioned, following Adam's fall, was universal. It touches the whole universe. God destroying this whole creation to make a way of a new heaven and a new earth includes destroying any of their fictitious, intelligent, alien life creatures, extraterrestrial creatures. It includes their destruction. Every star is going to be, again, brought into the destruction at the end of this age that we live in. And so, again, notice again here that the destruction is of the whole earth and all the heavens of the earth. 2 Peter 3:13, it's all going to go with a fervent heat. Revelation 21 and verse 1, again, to understand that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for all of the old things are going to pass away. And that includes trillions of stars. God's going to set up everything new and fresh. Jesus was called the last Adam because there was a first Adam, okay? And again, because there was a first real man, Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. He's not the first Vulcan. He's not the first Klingon. There is no sinless human substitute that takes a punishment for all humans. Will also take them for all Klingons. So again, to understand, again, the teaching of the gospel is paramount for the humanity, and it defies, again, any extraterrestrials. Christ died once for all, Romans 6:10, 1 Peter 3:18. On this earth, it is not going to be crucified and resurrected again on any other planets here in this universe. Hebrews 9:26. This is confirmed by the very fact that the redeemed earthly church is known as Christ's bride at the rapture and in marriage we will be His for all of eternity. The Bible makes no provision for God to redeem any other species any more than to redeem fallen angels in Hebrews 2:16. We see that. Fitting E.T. into the Bible. One attempt to fit E.T.s into the Bible is on the basis of the word in Hebrews 11:3. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 11:3. I love this verse. We've preached on it here many a time. It was mentioned this morning by Brother Thrun. It gives again the description of faith, a definition. The only definition you'll ever find of faith is given in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at it real quickly and understand what those that believe in E.T. are going to do, even to this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says there again that now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds, look at that, worlds, plural. There are more than one world, and so all these ETs are in different worlds, and so the worlds, more than one, were framed by the Word of God. So they'll grab onto that word, worlds. And again, even the modern translators, even Schofield, again, it hurts me to say this, but they say this is a bad translation, worlds. It should say ages. That's not true. The 47 linguists, expert linguists that knew four languages from kindergarten on, listen, they said that the best translation of this is worlds, and it is. So eons and all the other things that they try to make this. But notice it speaks of worlds plural. Why does it speak of worlds plural?
People,
okay. So it's all the different races of the world? No, we're all the same race. There's only one world of people. God so loved the world.
The world, when we think about it, it's Earth. And then the world, it's everything else. It's like what you were talking about, the firmament, stars, everything combined equals the worlds. Because you have, we take the definition of world and we think Earth.
Yeah.
But the worlds are all like the different, because they're not all the same. I mean, you have Earth, a planet, you have planets, you have stars, you have galaxies, you have space. That's all the worlds. I mean, it's everything put together.
So then he's speaking again of all of the other planets that he created, the worlds, and some of them might have E.T. on them.
No, because it's all, if you go back to Genesis, that's what it's talked about, the star, everything that he created. I always thought that, and I never had a problem with the worlds, because I thought the stars, the moon.
So again, the worlds, it could be Earth's. It could be, again, all the different little planetary systems of worlds. But notice also that we have different definitions of worlds. Again, in teaching biology, we know that there's an animal world. There's a plant world. If you was here this morning, there's an invisible world. There's a world of demons and devils. And that's another world that's talked about. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, again, that are of this world. And that's another world again. And so the idea that this is worlds does not at all include intelligent terrestrial, extraterrestrial beings. But they've got their mind made up that they must exist because of the evolutionary idea. And therefore, this verse probably points to them. Don't let them do that. Again, here, the worlds is not talking, again, about E.T. worlds. But it is talking about the worlds that we know of in existence. And even if that's just the animal worlds and the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and all the kingdoms that we have and call different worlds, the invisibles of this world that we looked at this morning. Again, understand that this verse has nothing whatsoever to do with extraterrestrial beings. Let's look at another one, John chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 10 and verse 16. And so they'll grab their Bible and say, aha, look, we found a verse that proves that there's extraterrestrials. Don't let them do that to this verse. John chapter 10 and verse 16, a very favorite portion of Scripture. It's kind of strange that I've never preached this In my 40 years of preaching, I've never even dealt with the fact that this is not talking about E.T. It's so obvious, again, that I've never even had it come up. But now and today, in this age, again, because they're trying to find something in the Bible that supports their theory, they've grabbed this verse. Verse 16 says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Aha! There it is. There's E.T. That's the other worlds that were created, and Christ is going to bring them all together into one world, and so we're going to share eternity with extraterrestrial little E.T.s running around. Oh, no. Listen, that is so far-fetched. What's he talking about here for the other fold? It's the Gentiles. Again, and we were grafted in. And again, we are the other worlds. And notice again, when God had decided that he was going to do that from the foundation of the earth, the Bible says, that he was going to graft Gentiles in and cause them to be the elect. And so the Gentile, when it talks about you that are now elect, it's not talking about Eddie Rice's. It's talking about the Gentiles are now part of the elect. And again, it is. I just finished another paper that said that it is audacious that the Roman Catholic Church taught that we Gentiles are now the center of God's universe. And God's all done with Israel, and we're taking all the promises from Israel, and we're claiming them all in a replacement theology and covenant theology of John Calvin, and it's all about us, and we're the most important thing in God's universe right now. Listen, we're just dumb Gentiles. Amen. We are the vile nations that God said, "Hey, watch this, I'm going to include them people over there."
Amen.
Again, and so don't get your head swollen that we're some great thing. We're just Gentiles that were grafted into God's tremendous promises. And don't get some idea that we are the new elect. We are not the elect. We again, as Gentiles, God elect to graft us in and to make us available to eternal life. What a praise the Lord, hallelujah moment when you get a hold of that. And here again, that's what that's talking about in this verse. Other verses, Psalms 8:5 says that man was made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. And then consider also Psalms 19 that I mentioned at the beginning. Why did God do that? And why is it only in the past 150 years? I mean, how much did they believe about extraterrestrial life 150 years ago? It was never a concern. It was never come up, right?
Well, flat earth was.
Yeah, the flat earth, because that was taught by the Roman Church. But again, no one was concerned about that. The Greeks worshipped gods, again, that they perceived as some kind of humans. They worship planets and such, but notice again that there was no considering that there's some other form life form out there. Only until we could take a telescope and look out there and say trillions of stars, it's got to have happened someplace else. And so the only thing that makes people believe in extraterrestrial is their belief in evolution. And some Christians that are waylaid by this cultic group and start believing, they're tangled in things that they just do not understand. You and I could help them understand a little bit more when we understand that God so loved this world right here. And that's where our concerns are, is to preach the gospel to every creature. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for the things that we looked at here, and thank you for your scriptures. Father, that keeps our head on straight. And I pray, Father, as we bump into others, even loved ones here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, that we'd recognize that, again, they can get so twisted up so quickly in this world. They can believe such lies, again. And it seems like the bigger the lie, the easier it is for them to fall into the belief of it. And so I pray, again, that you'd help us to be warriors for truth. But first off, to be warriors with your gospel. And to preach again the gospel to every creature. Only it can change a life and put their head on straight. And so we praise you again and thank you for the privilege of being Bible preachers. and Bible or gospel preachers, even as we walk through this world. Touch souls around us. Touch some again that even have come to my mind here. And I think of Betty and ask that you touch her, and she's so lost in the delirium of lies. And so I pray again, Father, that you touch our hearts and help us again just to speak forth truth and to, again, be a witness of your goodness. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in song. And appreciate again that we can meet here in an extended Bible study tonight on flat earth and alien invasions. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings.